and Answers begins right now.
How do we raise a new generation of warriors for Christ? Children at a young age need to be equipped how to discern truth from error so they can engage the ideas of the culture they encounter, whether it's in music, in media, and at school. Amy Davison of Mama Bear Apologetics teaches us the ROAR method, a practical way to equip our children to defend their faith in Christ. You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. The last time we were together, Amy Davison began with message one, taken from our 2024 Evidence and Answers Apologetics Conference. Each year, Pat hosts a fantastic apologetics conference and invites authors, teachers, and speakers from all over. If you've missed any part of this message, log on at evidenceandanswers.org, and there you will find this message, Raising Warriors, and find hundreds more podcasts that you may download or listen online. Now let's join into part two of message one from the 2024 Apologetics Conference.
People end up walking away and they're saying, okay, Sarah, yeah, she's a Christian, but she's not one of those Christians. You can actually talk to her. She's not going to judge you. She's going to listen, but she's also going to give really good insight. And you know what that is? That's actually just modeling how Jesus interacted with unbelievers. Just look at Zacchaeus and the woman at the well. He never shamed them for their sin. He recognized their humanity, but he never allowed their circumstances or their beliefs to compromise him reaching them with the truth of God. And that is how our kids need to operate, because so many kids don't know how to live the Christian life. They believe in Jesus, but they don't know how to live it out and articulate it to their friends. So very often they don't say anything. But when we teach them, baby, you can look at the model of Jesus to know how to interact charitably with your friends. Then all of a sudden they are empowered to be bold in the faith. So we offer discernment. First and foremost, pointing out everything that's good and true. And then secondly, we point out everything that's false. We say, okay, but where's the mistaken belief here? What worldview are they actually promoting? How does this belief actually negatively impact our society as a whole and contradict scripture, truth, biology, psychology? And then what we want to do is argue for a healthier approach. So what we do is then bring it back to the gospel and say, okay, wait, what actually is true? How do we address this situation? How do we address this lie? How do we show them that the truth is only found in the gospel? How would you articulate it? And actually do this as kind of an on-the-job training with your kids. Have little discussions like, okay, if you're watching a show, oh, see how this character acted? What would you advise this character in this situation? And give them a little trial opportunity, because kids love to speak truth, but they lack tact. And they're really loud most of the time. So, I mean, they channel Morgan Freeman when asking a really awkward question very loudly or in handling something. And so what we want to do is, okay, if they're going to make a blunder or if they have to tailor their approach, I want it to happen as best as possible within my own home rather than at a sleepover or at a party or at their friend's house. And they're just lobbing people's heads off with the sword of the spirit. So we want to make sure we're nurturing this at home. And then we're going to reinforce these ideas. And what that means is, just like with that stewardship model of lifelong discipleship, you're going to have more than one conversation. Now, sometimes they're not going to be very long or very profound. Sometimes it's just like, hey guys, did you happen to catch that? What are they actually saying here? It'll be a real quick thing. Other times you can have really deep, in-depth conversations. The one where we were talking about social justice with my oldest, that took about 3 days, because I needed to see the slides. I needed to do a bit of research first. I needed to kind of freak out a little bit that night, this being reaching my kid. And then the next day when I was calm, collected, and I had my sources, I said, hey, buddy, remember those slides? Do you mind if we take a couple seconds just to talk through these? And he was like, yeah, because I've been kind of wondering what's going on with this. I don't know how many other kids in the classroom got that opportunity. Some kids still have a skewed view of justice to this day just because of a 10-minute lesson with false slides. So reinforce these ideas with your kids. Now, how we set this up, and some of you from last night, you'll already recognize this. How we formulate it is, we want to first start off with truth. Again, belt of truth is first. And when you think about FBI agents who can study counterfeit bills, they don't actually study the counterfeit ones. They study the real thing, because when you know what the real thing is, you can recognize the false thing. That's why those He Gets Us campaign commercials, your discernment alarm was flying off the charts when you were watching that. That's because you knew you were rooted in truth. So we start off with truth. Then we want to engage the worldview that's being leveled at our kids. We want to point to God's design and his purpose. We want to point out secular counterfeits, meaning the things that look almost true. See, Satan is so clever. He doesn't always use complete and utter falsehoods. He uses just subtle variations of the truth. Those little itty bitty things that are just not quite right. I've heard it said that rat poison, 99% of it is completely edible. My proportions might be a little off there. I think it's like 99.6 is edible, something to that range. It's that small fraction that'll kill you. And that's why with our kids, we want to make sure that they can recognize what are the counterfeits. How can we see the problems with this? And then we want to prepare our kids for pushback. If your kid is a Christian, they are going to get pushback from their friends. Because what's going on in social media is groupthink. They want everyone to follow the masses, to follow the Hollywood starlets, the Instagram influencers. And the only way to do that is to water down the message to be as palatable as possible to everyone. But we cannot do that with the Christian faith. And so with our kids, we say, baby, if you are a Christian, if you are speaking truth from your friend, you are going to have someone accuse you of being hateful. But just because someone doesn't like truth, does that mean it's hateful? Absolutely not. Just because someone says you can't be their friend anymore, does that mean that you did something wrong? No, I've heard so many testimonies from individuals who had someone who was hostile to them as they spoke truth, but then years later, that individual came back and they thanked them. They thanked them for taking the time to speak truth because that person was the only one who would. So we prepare them for pushback, and then we teach them how to engage with truth and grace. Colossians 4:6 is one of my favorite verses because that's what we are to do with every conversation. It is to be heaping full of grace, but it is to be seasoned with salt because salt purifies, it also heals, but it can burn if it's just applied directly to the skin. And that's why it's important for us to also soften it with the grace and recognize that every single human being is made in the image of God. They may not be a child of God, but they're made in his image and they have inherent dignity, worthy of respect. So we are to interact with them regardless of what they believe, what they identify as, how they present themselves as an image bearer of God, because at some point somebody saw that image bearer status in us and loved us enough to speak truth and light. And we need to do that for others. So we teach them how to engage with truth and grace. And one of the best ways to do that is to teach your kids how to think well. So Chronicles of Narnia, I'm sure most of you have read it. There's a great passage where the professor bemoans them doubting Lucy and how she went into the wardrobe and encountered Narnia. And he says, well, don't they teach children logic anymore? Of course not. Unless you're in classical conversations, you're not getting logic. And that's intentional because if we don't teach people to think critically, then they are the default method of thinking for the brain is emotional reactions. I mean, think of social media, all of these little TikToks, Instagrams, all these little things, most of these people crying in the front of their Nissans, you know, it's to elicit an emotional reaction. So we empathize with the emotion without stopping and saying, okay, well, wait a second, what is Julie really crying about? Is this actually something she should be offended by? Is she really oppressed or is she just offended? So what we want to do with our kids is to teach them how to think well, because what that also does is that helps them have good conversations. They're able to ask probing questions. And so I just want to lay out five that you can help incorporate within your parenting and within your own conversations. Some of these I took from Greg Kokel's book, Tactics. It's absolutely fantastic. Highly recommend it. Short chapters, gives you practical conversational skills to navigate dealing with this culture, and your kids will pick up on it. So the first one. Whenever you're having a conversation, whenever you're watching TV or a movie, if a buzzword is used, justice, love, equity, harm, any of those things, what you want to do is stop and ask, what do you mean by that? This is Greg Kokel's very first question. What do you mean by that? Because 10 years ago, if we were to ask what love is, we could all pretty much define it. Or better yet, if we knew what marriage was 20 years ago, if we asked what is marriage, we all had the same definition. But if you were to ask what marriage is today, or what does it mean to be a man or a woman, you're going to get thousands of different answers. And so what we want to do and what we want to teach our kids is, baby, when you come across something that uses one of these words, we want to stop and say, what do you mean by that? Ask the person, just do it very casually. Okay, I see that you mentioned justice and, you know, there's a lot of definitions swirling around. What do you mean by justice? And what this does also, it will expose what that person believes behind this word justice. So often, in fact, a lot of the time, not many people know quite a lot of background, because what they've done is they're just pushing a bumper sticker and they are just retweeting without thinking or doing research. In fact, that's what we need to encourage our kids: less retweeting, more research, and see what do they mean behind the word. Then when you've asked those clarifying questions, what you want to work on next is asking them, how did you come to those beliefs? Now, this is where you get to learn the background of the individual. Because remember how I said earlier how people believe things? It's not necessarily because they're stupid. It's because something has happened in the past that led them to believe this. So in my situation, I rejected Christianity because I believed it was false, because someone was awful and belittling to me. And it wasn't because I was dumb and had a misunderstanding of what Christianity was, even though I did. It was because of a past experience. So when we encounter individuals, or when your child encounters individuals, ask them their background. What's your history? How has your faith experience been? I mean, this can often come with a lot of emotional baggage as well, but this will give you insight as to why they've made the decisions that they have, adopted the beliefs that they have. And it's often due to a vulnerability or a loss that they're trying to now fill. Third, this is an introspective question. What you want to be thinking of is, as you're listening, as they're defining their terms, sharing their background of what's going on, you want to be thinking, okay, what is it that they're desiring? What are they actually searching for? In my case, I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to have control over my life. And I mean, what teenager doesn't? And they don't have any control. That's why it's teenager and it's crazy. But Wicca, the reason I turned to Wicca was because Wicca offered me that control and empowerment. I am a woman. Wicca's very feminist empowerment. Now I can control the circumstances around me by casting spells, crystals, herbs, utilizing all of these situations. Fantastic. That's what I wanted. But that doesn't mean that that's actually what it offered or what it gave me. So what we want to do is, when we're listening to their background, be on check. What are they actually searching for? What are they trying to avoid? What are they frightened of? For so many women, the reason women won't accept Christianity is because they think that passages regarding submission means that they have to have an oppressive husband who's going to abuse them and not allow them to make any decisions in their life or think critically. That's not what submission is. That's not what Christian marriage is. But so many women think that's what it is because that's what the culture is telling them. It's down with the patriarchy. If you don't believe me, just go watch the Barbie movie. That's what they're telling girls is. So what are they searching for? Next, what we want to do, and this is something that, again, is more introspective: how do their beliefs and views hinder or contradict their desires? Every single human being has the same core desires. We want to be loved. We want to be cherished. We want to be accepted. We want to have a safe place. But you know what? When you get outside of God's design, you will not find those things. You will find a lot of clever ideologies promising you the things that only the cross can bring. And so what this opportunity does, what this question does, is as you're building a relationship with this individual, you can say, I understand where you're coming from. If I had gone through the circumstances that you have gone through, I probably would have made that exact same conclusion yourself. But here's the thing: where your life is going right now will never give you what you're searching for. In fact, the only path that can, the only person who can, is in Jesus Christ. And I know this for a fact because he did it for me. And you get to share your faith. And if they have questions, you can listen to their questions and say, wonderful question, and answer it. But don't be intimidated if they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to. That's okay. You're not omniscient. Instead, say, that's a fantastic question. I haven't really looked into that. Do you mind if I get back to you? And then exchange emails, phone numbers, if you know the person and you're comfortable with them having your phone number. Offer a way for them to get in contact. And then 2-3 days, do some research, get back to them, say, hey, friends, remember that question you had? This is especially good for your kids. Hey, buddy, you remember that question you had? It was a fantastic question. I really appreciate you sharing that with me. I've done a little bit of research. Do you mind, can I share with you what I've found? Most people will have no problem. And in fact, especially as they grow into adults, or as we're interacting with adults, they will appreciate that you would go to the time to listen to them, to hear them, to do some research and come back with them with answers and just talk with them. In fact, as we're going to see tomorrow, when we're talking about LGBTQ ideology, that is one of the biggest needs and vulnerabilities within the LGBTQ community, is for Christians just to talk to them and to listen. But I'm not going to spoil it. We'll do that tomorrow. Lastly, we round out the conversation, when possible, with how does the gospel fulfill those desires? Now, I came from two of the most conservative seminaries in the country, and they were very heavily evangelistic focused. I mean, if you are not sharing the gospel with the barista at Starbucks, you are failing as a good Baptist. Not every conversation is right for a gospel presentation. It's not right for an altar call. Sometimes, in fact, one of the best analogies I've ever heard is that when we are sharing the faith, we are like farmers. And sometimes our role is just to till the soil. It's to break up the harsh ground that maybe was stomped down by others before it. For others, it's to water, to nurture, to plant the seeds. Some of us, our role from an evangelistic setting will just be to pluck the weeds. You'll be talking to someone and they have a doubt, a question, a misunderstanding of Christianity, and you've got 10 minutes and you address that question, that doubt, that struggle that they're having, and they go on their way and you never see them again. You have been effective for the kingdom because what you've done is you've plucked a weed. And for some of us, we get the blessing of seeing someone come to faith in Christ, and the Holy Spirit moves in our life and we are nudged by him to say, okay, now is time to offer the gospel message and to ask them to accept Christ as their savior. Not every conversation is going to be ripe for that. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. And if the Holy Spirit is saying, now is the time, be bold and speak regardless of how they react, because we are to be faithful. In fact, I shared this last night, my favorite quote, Jason Whitlock, says that when we are fearful before God, we are fearless before culture. And that is what we are to strive to be, is to be fearless before culture. Rounding out, ages and stages. So what are some great things to introduce to kids at their age and stage? So for those of you who have little ones running around your house, dropping Cheerios everywhere, here are some great topics to offer them. So these kiddos are naturally geared toward creation. They're constantly bringing that in the house, aren't they? Dust, bugs, dirt. They love all the creepy crawly things. It's in your laundry. It's awesome. Kids love creation, and that enchantment focus is never something we are supposed to lose. The world often stomps it out of us, but we were not supposed to lose it. We are supposed to keep that enchantment. So we want to nurture that with our kids. So for this age group, I call it the show stage. I put classical learning grammar stages here. So we want to be creation oriented. We want to make sure that we are logic introducing, meaning that we are teaching them how to think well. Now, pro tip, this will make them better at arguing with you. They are going, if you say, because I said so, they're going to be like, that's not a good argument, mom. You still pull the mom card. But this is actually a good thing. If they push back, it means they're thinking well. And that's what we want to do, is raise up the next generation to think well. And we want to start off with beginning theology, which most books geared at this age group are already good at doing. And I'm going to show a couple. So here are a few that I love to recommend. So Christian Liberty Nature Reader is one that I used with my kids when we were first homeschooling. It's awesome. They get to look through nature, learn about bugs and beavers and snakes and crabs and things, and understand how they're designed, how they build their homes, how they care for their children. And it's all taught through a biblical worldview. It's wonderful. Now, pro tip though, is just because something is taught from a biblical worldview, we need to make sure that we're also teaching what a biblical worldview is, which we'll get in other sessions. That's the other side of the coin. So teaching from a biblical worldview means that it already assumes that the gospel is true. Teaching what a biblical worldview is means that we teach, okay, these are the questions that a worldview answers. Every worldview does answer these questions, but only Christianity aligns with reality and is true. So that's what we're aiming for our kiddos. This one is for the parents. Talking with your kids about Jesus. Natasha Crane has three really amazing books geared toward parenting, and they're all between 30 and 40 questions in each book, acquainting people with Jesus, God, and common apologetic challenges. Now, one feature that I absolutely love about this book is that each chapter is about 3 pages long, which means that when your kid is temporarily distracted by toys, you can hide in the closet, eat that candy bar you've been pilfering, and read a chapter before they find you. It's awesome. And Fallacy Detective, absolutely love it. It's a book where each page the kids get to learn about a new form of faulty reasoning, faulty thinking, and the kids get to figure out, okay, what's true, what's not, how do I use this? It's great. Now, for the littles as well, a friend of mine, Elizabeth Urbanowitz, has an amazing ministry, and she wrote a book, What is Truth? And this is a great, colorful storybook for the little kids to teach them the complex concept of the existence of truth in an age-appropriate, accessible way. She just came out with this book. Excellent. And I love Marty Makowski's theology. It is beautiful. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's like that thick. I got it in the mail as a baby gift, and this thing is massive. And it's just beautiful artwork while also explaining who is God, his triune nature, the fall. Beautiful books for this age group. Highly recommend them. And I've got a ton more because I'm kind of a book nerd. So if you want more than this, just see me afterward and I'll expose my Amazon hoarding. Next stage. This is our grow stage. So I used to teach Sunday school to third graders. And what I found is that by third grade, kids know who built the archy-archy and who was up in the tree. They want to know why it matters. So we need to transition from this concept of Bible stories to actually shifting now into let's study theology. We want to make sure that we're also covering the concepts of identity, because that is where our culture is warring at our kids, which we'll see more in another session, as well as introducing other worldviews. Because once your kid starts getting in the upper grades, especially middle school, they start encountering children of different worldviews and they start wondering, okay, wait, what's going to happen to my Muslim friend? That was a struggle my own son went through. He goes, wait a second, Mom, I know what Christianity says, but I've got a friend who's a Muslim. What's going to happen? And so we were able to have this wonderful conversation with him about how to share faith, the teachings of Islam, basic introduction, and be able to help equip him. So because he felt lost and instead, okay, baby, let me get you some answers. And once we get our kids answers, they no longer feel lost. Instead, they feel excited and empowered to share their faith. So some great books for this age group is Cold Case Christianity for Kids by J. Warner Wallace. He also has one for adult as well. But I love this one for the kids because they get to solve a mystery while learning about what is evidence. What about the chain of command with history? Foundations Worldview, that is actually the organization that Elizabeth Urbanowitz started. She was a private school teacher, realized kids did not have worldview teachings. She left private school and wrote this curriculum. It's mostly geared toward homeschooling parents or Christian private schools, but you could totally get this and use it during the summer because by day two, your kids are talking about, I'm bored. Well, cool, baby, you're bored. We're going to learn about worldview this summer. And Lee Strobel, he has written kid accessible books to all of his subjects, Case for Christ, Case for Heaven, Case for the Creator. It's amazing. Look at your child's natural desires and inquisitiveness and pick a book that suits those desires. If they're science related, go ahead and pick Case for a Creator. If they are curious about what happens after we die, Case for Heaven, absolutely fantastic. Curtail your teachings to your child, and that will help nurture excitement for the faith. Next is our know stage. These are our high schoolers in the group. And by this stage, in fact, all those things, we want to try and build off those. By this stage, what we really want to be focusing on is good logic, good critical thinking, because by this stage, they're spending more time with their friends, more than likely, than us. And so if we can equip them to think well, then when they're interacting with their friends, they're accountable to the Holy Spirit for what they're encountering. And we can help them think well and be prepared for the challenges that are coming at it. Faith challenges are also going to be huge because this is what they're going to get hit with at the lunchroom. And this actually starts early. My third grader was actually questioned on his belief in God due to the existence of the universe. And that was third grade that he got hit with that. And then cultural apologetics. Cultural apologetics specifically focuses on the main cultural issues that are going on today, which means we need to be abreast of this because culture is always shifting. The conversations we had 5 years ago are not the conversations we're having now. And the conversations we're having 5 years from now will not be the ones we're going to be teaching on. So we want to make sure that we're shifting in culture. A great way to do that is a ministry called AXIS. It's AXIS.org. They send you a weekly email to your inbox summarizing the main things that are going on in culture, the new phrases that your kids are using, like fire, bet, bruh, all those things, so you know what the heck they're talking about. And they keep you up to date because they have a whole team of people. It's fantastic. But here are just three great resources. The one I really want, I mean, Worldview is absolutely fantastic. Mere Christianity, the reason I point that out is because for some of you, you have kids who are like a hesitant Christian, and they may really be comforted knowing that C.S. Lewis called himself one of the most unwilling converts, and that might resonate with them. But the book I really want to point you to is John Stone Street and Brett Kunkel's A Practical Guide to Culture. Absolutely fantastic. I was assigned to read it for my cultural apologetics class, and I ended up pulling an all-nighter because I just couldn't put it down. Fantastic book. As we wrap up, I say this at the end of every talk, but there are two people in the room. Some of you are really excited. You love new information. You've got all the books. You're texting your friends. You're wanting to get together and start a book club. That's awesome. Do that. But there are others who are completely overwhelmed by parenting right now. I know I've got a four-month-old who is struggling with colic. Some of you heard the after effects of her fussing in the parking lot just last night. I get it. But don't allow the worldly things that bog down to keep you silent. Instead, we are to speak up in the midst of the messiness, because that is what we are called to do as parents. So my hope for you is that this conference, this ministry here that is wonderfully rooted in Hawaii, that you will be able to take it and to grow and channel it to the next generation, because that is where culture changes. That's why our culture is trying to reach our kids, is to warp them, but we can raise them to be warriors in the faith. And I encourage you to speak boldly and do so. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukeran.